Good to see you here tonight. It's a great time that we can have celebrating our Savior's birth. My name is Pastor Tim. If you're a guest here with us, we just want you to know we're delighted to have you here. We have services every Sunday at 10 o'clock. You're always welcome to join us. But this is just kind of a simple Christmas gathering. I think sometimes we try to overproduce things in our culture, and we try to make it more complicated than it needs to be. And so we just wanted to have a straightforward, traditional time where we can gather together and celebrate our Savior's birth. And I think there's something about simplicity that we kind of all long for amidst all the complexity of our lives and the busyness. Just thinking about the fact that God came to this world and he came in a barn or a stable, and to ordinary people in ordinary times. And I think there's just something so special about that. So we want to do that here tonight. We want to have a great time to just remember what Jesus has done for us. I want to just call your attention to John 3:16, which is actually the verse that the kids had just quoted. This is actually a wonderful time for us to kind of examine that passage of Scripture in John chapter 3, verse 16. I want to just read the two verses, verses 16 and 17. And this will kind of guide us in our thoughts tonight. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And I want to just begin with a word of prayer as we just look to God's word here tonight. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can praise you and honor you. Jesus, you truly are the reason for the season. And we ask that tonight that you would stir our hearts to honor and praise you, to lift you high. I pray, Jesus, that if there be any person here today that has not discovered the hope of Christmas, the hope of Christ, I pray that tonight would be the night. And Lord, do the things you need to do in us, that you would make us the kind of men and women and kids that you want us to be, that we would obey you and honor you in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Christmas is almost here. All of the shopping and all of the get-togethers and the special events that we normally have, a lot of them are mostly over. Maybe some of you have some celebrations to do yet tonight. But tomorrow, we celebrate our Savior's birth. And I thought what I would preach on and talk on here tonight, even though we've read the story of Christ's birth, we've listened to the scriptures here this evening, I want to look at things this evening from a bit of a higher perspective, if you will, kind of getting a larger picture of what Jesus' birth represents and what it means. Because when we think about Christmas, what does this Christmas story mean and tell us about the character of God? What does Christmas tell us about who God is like? How can we get to know God better through what happened 2,000 years ago? And after all, as you read and examine the scriptures, you see that while there's many stories and many different people that are represented in the scriptures, really the story of scripture is the story about God. And I think Christmas gives us a wonderful example about the goodness and the greatness and the love of Almighty God. You know, this story that we just read, these two verses I read here in John chapter 3, the context text of this passage deals with the fact that there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who was a religious leader in the Jewish times at that time, and he came to Jesus at night. Evidence that he wanted to kind of do things in secret. He didn't want the light to expose the fact that he was connecting with Jesus. He wanted the cover of darkness. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and they talked about what it means to be born again. Because that was something, a concept that this Pharisee, this religious leader, really had no concept of. It was actually quite an elaborate discourse that Jesus has with Nicodemus. But we come to probably one of the most popular verses in all of Scripture, John 3:16. And I want to read it once again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And this verse gets repeated so often, so frequently. Sometimes you'll see at football games, you know, in the end zones, they'll have the John 3:16 signs there. You'll see it all over the place. We put it and get it in front of us. A lot of us, maybe if we grew up in church, we might perhaps memorize that verse. But do we get what it really means? Do we understand what it really has to say about God? Because Jesus tells us something significant theologically about God himself, about who he is. For God so loved the world that he gave. You know, we think about giving. We exchange Christmas gifts and do that together. Christmas time, most of us do that. And this is a time where we really kind of parody what God has done for us. Because God is a giver, we too give. And Scripture says it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so the coming of Jesus into the world proves that God is a giver and he is a loving God. You know, love is a primary characteristic of God himself. 1 John 4:16 says, for God is love. The fact that he is love, not love is God, but God is love. That's his nature. In other words, everything that God thinks, everything that God says and does is all loving all the time. That is his nature. There will never be a moment where he does not love you and me. He loves us. And there are a number of characteristics that describe God's nature and character in Scripture. But I think that there are two that I want to really capture this evening. Two, I want to highlight the fact that God is obviously holy. He's perfect in all of his ways. There's no sin. There's no unrighteousness in God. But he is also a loving God. So I like to think of God as a holy, loving God. He's holy. He's perfect. He will never violate his character in that way, but he also loves us. And we could easily talk at length about the holiness of God. But this evening, I really want to capture this understanding of the loving nature of God and elaborate how the Christmas story emphasizes the essence of God's nature. Because again, we need to see things from a larger perspective when we consider the Christmas story. I would actually like to offer five characteristics of the nature of God's love as evidenced in the Christmas story. The first thing that we need to have to remember and understand is that God's love is universal. It says that God so loved the world. He loved you and me. He loved all of us. God loves and values human beings. He prizes each soul. Jesus says in Luke 12:7 that even God knows the number of hairs that are on our head, that we're valued of God. He cares about the details of our lives. He knew us before we were even born. He knows the story of our lives. And this love that God has for humanity is universal. It's all-encompassing that God loves, and he loves us just the same. He loves everyone. God is a loving God. And his love is universal. The second thing we have to remember about God's love is God's love is unconditional. His love is free. How do we know this? If God loves the world and if the world is sinned, that we remember the fact that God loved us despite ourselves, despite the fact that we are sinful, that he loved us no matter what. In verse 17 of chapter 3 in John's Gospel, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. Now, God has every right to condemn the world, I'll tell you that. Because of our sin, because we've all violated God's standard of righteousness, because we've all violated God's laws, because we've all sinned against a holy and a righteous God, we all deserve punishment and separation from God in eternity in a place called hell. We deserve that. But because God is loving, because he cared enough for us, because he considered us, which is even a mystery that God would consider even his creation, but he desired to save us despite ourselves. You know, the song that a lot of kids and a lot of us sing at Christmas time, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. There's a few lines in that song that says, he knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. What is implied in that song is that you only get a gift if you've been good. It's contingent. There's a contingency factor. Well, if you do the right things, then Santa Claus is going to come and visit you. But you know, you think about God's nature, God actually isn't like that at all. He gave us Jesus when we were undeserving. He gave us Jesus despite our sin, despite the fact that we had violated his perfect ways. In fact, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The truth is, none of us are good apart from the grace and goodness of God. We've all sinned and violated God's perfect standard, yet God loves us unconditionally despite our sin. He values every one of us. God's love is unconditional. The third thing that we see in Scripture is that God's love is also unchangeable. God is not changing in his nature. If he's holy and perfect, it means you can't get any better than that. He's perfect in all of his ways. And there is nothing that can separate us from his love, according to Romans chapter 8. You know, we will never have the status of human beings as being unloved by God. This means that when you're at the supermarket or when you're shopping for people or when you're driving down the road, that everybody around you is a person that is loved and valued by God. And that provides the basis for our love for them, because when God does that supernatural thing in our hearts, that we desire to share that same love with other people, the love of Christ. Psalm 36, verse 5, David says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens." And as we think about Christmas time, we think about God's love for us, that love is not only unconditional, but it's also unchangeable, that God loves us. And if God's love did change, it would actually violate his character. You know, there's a story one day of a pastor who was walking through the English countryside with a friend, and as they strolled along, the pastor noticed a barn with a weather vane on the roof. And at the top of the vane were the words, "God is love." The pastor remarked to his companion that he thought that this was a rather inappropriate place for such a message. And the weather vanes are unchangeable, he said. But the pastor says, God's love remains the same. Even though this man thought that this vane was actually changing and moving around, the pastor actually commented to his friends, "You misunderstand the meaning. The sign is to indicate that regardless of which way the wind blows, God's love remains the same." You know, the fact is, the truth is, a lot of times the wind blows in our lives. We have ups and downs. We have good days. We have bad days. We have times of difficulty. We have times of sunshine. But God's love remains the same. You and I have never lived a day of our lives, a minute or a breath of our lives, outside the love of God, because that is just his nature. That's who God is. God's love is also, number four, sacrificial. God is a sacrificing God. For God so loved the world that he gave. You know, we give Christmas presents to those we love, and that's a good thing, because it's the nature of God to give to other people. We think about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, not only in giving us Jesus as we remember his birth, but we also remember what happened on the cross. We remember that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die, that God had a mission in this world to save us and to redeem us from our sin. Though all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, though all of us have violated God's perfect standard, God in his mercy came to us when we couldn't go to him. And because of his great love for us, he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be cleansed of all unrighteousness in our lives. And love is willing to sacrifice what is needed to bring redemption and to bring reconciliation, to rescue us. And friends, Christmas won't make sense to any of us unless we understand the rest of the story, unless we understand why he came, why Jesus had to come. So the fact that he could come and die on the cross for our sins, he'd certainly live that perfect life and fulfillment with God's perfect standard of righteousness, his law. But because he came, he died in our place. And not only that, he conquered death by rising from the grave. Dr. Jewett once said, "The biggest thing with which the mind can cope is the infinite love of God. All the explorations of eternity will never reach the limit in its unsearchable wealth. The biggest thing you and I will ever know is the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus Christ is the full expression of God's love for us. You want to find proof? You want to find proof of the fact that God loves us? You remember Christmas. You remember what happened on Good Friday. You remember what took place on Easter Sunday morning. You think of what God has done for us. That God humbled himself and allowed his only son to die on the cross. Philippians says that he went through a gruesome death, and he humbled himself even to death on a cross. You know, some of us may be gathering tonight or in the next few days with family. For some of us, that's a pleasant thing. For others of us, not so much. There's some challenges sometimes that happens in any family. But I want to just challenge each and every one of us to go out of your way to show love to other people and recognize that because God loved us unconditionally while we were not perfect, that God has called us too to show that same grace and same love to other people, even when they're not perfect either. And I want to just encourage you to sacrifice your time and energy, and dare I say, even your pride, and look to Jesus as your example. The fifth thing that we see in Jesus, or what we see at Christmas time and how we see God as a loving God, is not only is God's love universal, his love unconditional, his love unchangeable, and his love sacrificial, but it's also personal. God's love is personal. He loves you and he loves me. D.L. Moody said, "I never knew up to the time that God loves me so much. This heart of mine began to thaw out. I could not keep back the tears. I just drank it in. I tell you, there is one thing that draws upon above everything else in the world, and that is love." This is what this world needs, is the love of God. They need to recognize God certainly does love the world. He doesn't love what we do, but he loves the world. But people need to know that God loves them. That God loves each and every person. In fact, that's one of the most critical things we want to teach our children as their kids here at church and growing up. We want to teach them and tell them with conviction that God loves them and that God cares infinitely for them. And the truth is still true for us as adults as well. No matter what we've done, no matter how many mistakes we've made, no matter how much sin we've committed, God loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us. And that is profound. And I know this is a very simple message. This is something probably a lot of us have heard time and time again. Maybe some of us have never heard that. But friends, it's in the simple message of the gospel do we find our joy. It's the simple message of what took place, not only at Christmas, but also at Calvary, that will change us, that will transform us. And there's a story years ago of a young woman who went to the ticket office in an English railway station, and she had lived only for the sinful pleasures of her life to that point, and she was weary of her empty and sinful life. And above the ticket window, there were printed the words, "God so loved." And she said to the ticket agent, "I've never heard that before. Where do those words come from?" And the agent said, "Well, they're in the Bible, miss." Where can I get a Bible?" she asked. And he said, "Well, across the street, there's a bookstore. You can pick up a Bible there." And the young woman bought the Bible and returned it to the station and in time to catch the train. And she asked the passenger to find the place in her Bible where it says, "God so loved." And she was shown John 3:16. And she read it over and over and over again. And reaching her home, the young woman rushed in and she showed the verse to the man with whom she lived at the time. And she said, "Isn't this wonderful?" The man asked, "So I've known that verse that was in the Bible for a long time. What's so wonderful about that?" "Well, if God loves me just like that, I'm going to forsake my sinful life and love and serve him with all of my heart." And she became a joyous Christian. She actually won her boyfriend to Jesus, and they were united in Christian marriage, and their home in London became the center of a rich influence for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, friends, God's love in giving us Christ demands a response. The story of Christmas is a story ultimately of God's love for us, that he came to redeem and to rescue us. But the truth is, before we can minister in love, we need to be mastered by love. Let me say that again. Before we can minister in love, we need to be mastered by love. And the reason why some of us perhaps are even in challenging circumstances is this is an opportunity for you to look to Jesus and you to be mastered by his love. And recognize that love in your own heart, because it's awfully hard to dispense something to other people when you've never discovered that yourself. And so tonight, this is an opportunity, as every time we gather as believers, to remember what God has done for us and to remember the fact that He has loved us unconditionally and that He has charged us to love one another and to care for those who are in need. How many would just be honest enough and say, Pastor Tim, I need to be mastered by love this Christmas? A lot of hands. Yeah, we all do. We need to be mastered by love. I believe the invitation for each of us as we conclude tonight, and the challenge I want to just make to every one of us, is to open your heart to God's love. To remember that God came to your rescue. While we couldn't go to God ourselves, God came to us. And He saved us, and he cleansed us from the inside. And the way that happens is we repent of our sins. Another way of saying it, we confess our sins to God. We say, God, I admit I've sinned against You. And not only do we confess it, but we forsake it. We say, God, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I've made mistakes. But Lord, I want to change my ways, and I can't do this myself. Would You help me? Would You grant me the grace to help me to change and to repent and go the other direction? And not only that, we're to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just a mental thing, but it's a willingness to stake your whole life on the fact that Jesus not only came to this world, He died on the cross, but He rose from the grave to give me life and to promise me life eternal. And so as we trust in Jesus, as we put our confidence in Him, just as a person would jump out of an airplane and trust a parachute that would be able to help them land, so we trust Christ Jesus. This is what faith involves, that we live for Him every day. You know, being a Christian is more than just coming to church on Christmas or on Easter. This is a time where we daily walk in obedience and walk in a way that helps us to walk in a way that honors Him and live for Him and loving other people. And the miracle of Christmas is this: when you and I open our hearts in this way, when you and I say, God, I recognize who I am, but I recognize also who You are. God, I need You. Would You forgive me? The miracle of Christmas is when we open our hearts to God. As we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And we can discover the joy of Christmas. And the wonderful thing about Christmas that I will never completely comprehend is the fact that Jesus stepped into a world that was a big mess. And could it be that God wants to step into your mess and transform you from the inside out? That only happens when we say, thank You for Your love, but would You transform my heart to love? God, we thank You that You came to our rescue. We thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus for us. Lord, thank You for Your amazing love. Lord, we cannot comprehend it. But Lord, I thank You that You've done that work in our hearts. And Lord, even as we're holding these candles in our hands, Lord, I thank You, Jesus, that You are the light of the world. And Lord, I thank You that Your light is within us. And I pray that we too, even as You give us opportunity this week, would share Your light and Your love with other people. We praise You and we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.